Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Sigh Effect, a show that deals with hot topics from all directions. And now, introducing the funny, the talented, the charismatic, the captivating, the woman who tells it like it is, your host, I am Sigh.
Welcome to another edition of the Sigh Effect Radio Show. I am Sigh, your host, and today's guest I have actor, director, comedian, screenwriter, and producer. Yeah, he does it all, guys. You may know him from films and television shows such as Friday After Next, Eve, 90210, Showtime, and his award-winning film, Restraining Order. You guys want to check out Reggie Gaskin's comedy on YouTube. He is hilarious. And you can also go to ReggieGaskinsTV.com as well and connect with him on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube also, and check out the trailers of his projects. He's a very talented screenwriter and producer as well as actor. I remember seeing him for the very first time on the sitcom Eve. I don't know if some of you remember that show, but it was a couple of years ago. Rapper Eve had her own sitcom, and it was so funny. I hated that it got canceled or they decided not to carry on the show. I'm not sure. Eve did a great job, and all of her co-stars were perfect. They all meshed perfectly on that show. I want to talk to Reggie in a couple of minutes, so we're going to play a quick break, and we'll get back with you.
Tune into the Sigh Effect Radio Show every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for your hot topics, hot interviews, and hot music. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/ The Sigh Effect Radio Show. See you there.
Please give a warm welcome for actor, director, comedian, screenwriter, and producer, Mr. Reggie Gaskin. Welcome to the show, Reggie.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the Sigh Effect. I really appreciate you taking time to come on and have some fun with me today.
Oh, of course, of course.
Is there something you can't do? Because you seem like you do it all. I mean, you're writing, you're acting, you're directing, you do comedy, I mean, producing. Oh, my God, you do it all.
I can't cook grits. I ain't no good at that.
Can you break dance?
I can break dance.
I can break dance. I knew that.
I might need 3 ambulances and 2 bishops when I'm finished, but I can break dance.
Oh, my gosh. Now, when did you know you wanted to become an actor, Reggie?
When I flunked out of college. No, just like, no, it's...
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, that's fine.
Go ahead, honey.
It hit me that I wanted to act and write. When I got out of college, I didn't graduate, but I finished college, and I had to take a semester off to raise more money to go back to school for my senior year. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I was just basically working a little, you know, little 20-year-old job, you know, and going to and playing basketball. And I was like, it's got to be more to life than this. I walked past a place called Freedom Theater, which was right down the street from my house. And I heard all the commotion inside. I took an interest in it, went inside, saw what they were doing, and I was like, I would like to do this, and have been hooked ever since.
That's an amazing story. You are, like I said, you direct, you act, you're a comedian, screenwriter, producer. Which do you like the most if you had to choose one?
Wow. It used to be acting. I kind of still got to say acting is still number one. But writing has now come very, very, very close to second. But it's still acting. If you took writing away from me, directing away from me, producing away from me, I'll be okay. But if you took acting away from me, I'm going to scream and cry.
With that said, what is the best and worst part of being an actor, in your opinion?
The rejection is the worst part of it. Because you get rejected on a daily basis for reasons that, in many cases, you'll never understand, you know. Every actor thinks they're right for the part. I already know there's certain parts I'm not right for. But for the parts that I do, you know, have been turned down for, you know, in all honesty, I look at some people they cast, and I'm like, wow, it wasn't like this person was so, so much greater than me. And it creates levels of doubt in your mind, like, wow, this person is extremely handsome, so maybe I'm not a good-looking dude. Was tall, and wow, if I was taller, maybe I would have got the part. You know what I mean? The worst part is the rejection.
So that has to do a number on your self-esteem.
Oh, yeah, it does. Very, very, very much so. And it makes it constantly has you questioning yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When you do book something, which is also very, very good, sometimes, well, I don't really get nervous, but sometimes when you do book something, now it's like, wow, I actually booked it. Now I have to be good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't, anything I ever book, I don't look at it like I have to be good. I kind of look at it like, okay, it's time for me to go to work and do what I do. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So the nervousness goes away. Like early on, you feel the pressure, like I got to be good. Everybody's depending on me. But now, you know, being a little older, it's like, okay, let me just go to work. Let me go do what I do. If it's what I do, I'm going to go do it.
Now, is there a particular role that got away, a role you really wanted but wasn't cast for?
Yeah. The movie Fighting Temptation that starred Cuba Gooding Jr. and Mike Epps. At the time, I was up for the part that Mike Epps was up for. And I had wanted that part. I was like, this would be cool to play. You know what I mean? It would have been a big, big break for me. It was after Friday After Next. And it was interesting because I taught Bible study at the time at my church. I was like, this is kind of like right up my alley or whatever. And, you know, Mike ended up getting it, and my manager was like, well, you know, Mike was, at that time, had done more movies than I had done and had a little bit more popularity. And so he said, Reg, don't think it's not because of your talent, you know, and I'm like, okay. Then I was up for another film that ultimately, what's the boy's name? I can't remember it, but it was the Barbershop, and the guy that played the attorney, the nice nerdy dude.
Okay.
And he's from Philly. He's a good dude. Like, I know him. Like, he's real cool people. But, you know, I didn't get it. And, you know, again, it's like, wow, is it something about my talent and all that going on? And so, and then definitely, you know, for television, for the shows like Boston Legal and now the show The Good Wife, and back in the day, a show called The Practice. Like, I love playing roles of attorney. You know, I don't know. I just never, the auditions, like, he's really, really good. He's very intelligent, but it would always go to
someone else
who had more credits. And that's kind of how I got into writing and directing my own stuff, because it's like, I don't want to sit around and wait. I don't want to wait for Hollywood to validate me.
Absolutely.
To validate whether I can act or not.
Mm-hmm.
And when I would act and do my own thing, you know, people was like, you're a really good actor. And I was like, okay, thank you. I'm glad somebody figured it out. You know?
Right. Now, that goes into my next question. How do you feel regarding the lack of acting jobs for minority actors?
It's the worst thing in the world. I mean, to be blunt, it is the continuation of the level of racism that goes on in the entertainment business that's been going on for years.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole theory is that we aren't bringing in the kind of dollars to warrant more acting jobs. That is the biggest load of crap that has been sold on the American people.
Because black people do go to films. Black people do go out to watch movies, and we do go out and support. Tyler Perry is a big example of that.
But, I mean, even if you go, you know, before Tyler Perry, Spike Lee's films were bringing in money. The Huffman Brothers were bringing in money. All these people were bringing in money for their films. It wasn't like, you know, Spike Lee bombed in his first three films and the Hughes Brothers bombed and all that type of stuff. These people were bringing in money. But I think, you know, in my opinion, I'll use magic as an example. AIDS was prominent before magic got it, but it wasn't magic that broke up on it and it became this big national thing. And that's what happens with us. We as African Americans, when we get involved in something and we're actually good at it, it blows up. And that gives us all greater positions of power.
Mm-hmm.
One way that you can keep any group of people down is to diminish their power from their leaders, which is why they kill Martin enough. If I can diminish the power of the leader, everyone that follows the leader will become even more powerless in their psyche.
And I completely agree with you, and I commend everything that you're doing by creating your own platform and getting your films out there. Now, what are the projects that you're working on now or in the future? I know you just wrapped up a project. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I just finished my second feature film. The initial title was The Lawyer, the Thug, and the Princess, and we just changed the title to The Lying Truth. And it's a film that tackles the issue of race in the rap world. And it's about a video vixen who claims that a famous rapper raped her. He says that he did not rape her, that she's telling a lie to set him up so she can get some money. And she said he thinks he's God's gift to women and has this authority that all women, want rappers. And so it's a very, very interesting story, and it's a courtroom drama of whodunit.
How do you feel about reality television?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I should answer this question in the words of a preacher or the words of a pimp.
Hey,
but if I answered it in the words,
there are some preachers that are pimps, so you may be able to do both.
Well, if I answer it as both, I'll put it like this. Lord Jesus, executives better have my money. let me see. Reality television. Reality television for actors is the worst. Because, I mean, from a creative standpoint, it's the worst. It shows that people are lazy and will not take the time to be creative and write good television. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Go all the way back to the days of Dallas and the Jeffersons and Good Times and all those shows from back in the day. People took time to write and create good television. And then they would expand on half-hour shows and make hour shows, and they would expand on that. Remember we used to have movies of the week and made-for-TV movies? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so now, the creative process is gone to a certain extent, and also it's cheaper to a certain extent because you don't necessarily have to pay the reality stars. I mean, they do. They make a salary, but there's no residual. So they make the show, you know, and they run it to death. You know, look, God does. People came up with an idea. America seems to like it, so, hey, do what you do. Me, I don't like it.
I know it can be frustrating from an actor's point of view, and I've interviewed a couple of actors, and they didn't want to expand on it because it really ticked them off.
So now let me even reverse it a little bit. There is a little bit of work that is necessary to ensure that at least a reality show is necessary, because most of the shows are scripted.
Yeah.
Now, or are written. It's not scripted like, hey, this is your line, this is your line, but it is scripted from the standpoint of okay, we're going to do this story. So let's say, for example, I'm the reality. I don't know, I'm the situation. Let's put it like that. You know, and it's like, okay. No, I'm the writer, and I'm talking to the situation. It's like, you know, I want you to go have a conversation with old girl, and I want you to bring up the fact that her mom is dumb. And he'll say, why? Just bring it up. Because in my research, I've realized that she don't like people talking about her mom. So now I've just created an audience. All I got to do is tell my camera people, yo, capture this. Because there's going to be an argument. I already know. You know what I mean? So,
it's crazy. What is something that you know now that you wish you knew when you first started out as an actor?
I wish I knew how important it was. I don't want to say too. Let me see. It's the best way to put it. One of the things that I know now that I knew then but didn't really expect it is how important it is to utilize your connections. I was always a talent person. I was always, judge me and base me on my talent. I don't want anything based off of just who I know.
Right.
Because it was always about me. It was like, judge me and my talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have all the same relationships, but I was always about, you know, just me and my talent. Where in some instances, and I wouldn't, like, I wasn't one to go to parties. Like, I'm not going to a party just to such a be there. And, like, if I'm going, I'm going to go and party and have fun. You know? But it's a necessary thing. One of the other things is, no, I do that still. That's mainly the thing for me.
That's mainly the thing.
Yeah,
okay.
I was never one to, like, I don't name drop.
Right.
You know, I could probably get stuff if I told people who I knew.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can get their attention quicker by name dropping, but I'm the same way. I don't like to name drop. I don't like to say, well, so-and-so has been on the show. You should come on the show. I did that one time, and it felt crazy. It felt like I was desperate. You know, it's like, oh, did I just tweet that?
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Yeah,
did I just do that?
Right. I'll tell you something else that I actually considered this. In this business, you get approached by a lot of people, and I'm talking about once you're at the working stage,
mm-hmm.
who are like, I can help you take your career to another level. So you come hang with me at this party, right? And I'm like, okay, cool, ain't no real big deal. Let's go. You know, we're going to do some business. We're going to work together. You know, let's get to know each other. Come hang out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get there are certain things going on in the party. Like, once the party's going on, the normal party is like, okay, whatever. Come midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, everybody's kind of died out. This is a house party now, not a club.
Mm-hmm.
And certain people have left, and it's now the real comfortable people, like the host is comfortable with these people in this house late at night. There are certain things that go down that if you participate in, you will find yourself working.
Mm. Are we talking about the casting couch?
It's, I mean, even beyond that, and that, I mean, the casting couch is the most known and the most publicized thing. I'm talking about things that don't have nothing to do with that.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, you and I are going to have to talk off the air. I want to know about what goes on behind the scenes of the scene.
Yeah. And it's very, very subtle. It's not like, hey, you got to do this. It's like, if you don't want to do it, we respect you. And it seems like nothing changes. It's like, okay, they respected the facts and my wishes. I don't want to do that. I don't curse. I don't do this. I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly you realize things have changed.
Is it like an initiation or something like that? You think if he goes for it?
Yeah, it's almost like in the mafia days or whatever. It's like we need to know that your hands are dirty. So you got to get your hands dirty too. If we know that you want to get your hands dirty, then we can trust you, and you're in our circle. But if you don't want to get your hands dirty, you're still the homie. You just can't be inside the circle.
You know what? I don't know why I'm bugging right now, acting so shocked, but I'm shocked, but I'm not. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
I was shocked,
but not.
So let me ask you this. Did you get your hands dirty, Mr. Gaskin?
No. That's why I said now, years later. And that's why I said now, Subway. Now, years later, I'm like, wow. Because like I said, it wasn't a whole casting couch thing.
Mm-hmm.
And years later, I'm wondering, wow, should I have gotten my hands a little musty?
Right, because you'll be working as often as you would like.
Maybe. I mean, that's the thing. You can't necessarily guarantee it, but just from some things that I've seen, it's like, wow, I wonder if I should have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Compromise one too little thing that would not have necessarily compromised me physically.
Right.
You know? Like, okay, nobody could say he ever slept with somebody, but somebody can say he did do this. You know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, to me, I'm like, you know what, don't know that. I believe in myself. I believe I have the ability as a writer. I have the ability as an actor and a director. And at some point in time, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says your talents will make a way for you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And at the end of the day, if nothing else happens for me in my career right now, I've done three of the major things I've ever wanted to do. I wanted to be on television. Like, Time of Recurring, I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to have a national commercial. I was thankful to have that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted my family and my kids to be able to go to the movies and see me on screen. That's happened. I haven't won, but I've been nominated for a major award. You know, and never received the Outstanding Writing Award. So it's like, not everybody can say all of that. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So the only other thing that I really want from this career, through this vision, is 5 years of consistent income that puts me over anywhere from $80,000 to $250,000 a year. I don't need millions. I just, you know what I mean? Because I don't necessarily live completely comfortable. You know, it's like a job can, you know, you could book a gig and you could be good for a couple months, you know. But when them couple months run out,
you're on to the next grind. It's time.
Yeah,
actually, you have to continue hustling while you're working because you know that the gig is not going to be for 6 months. So you have to be on your hustle still.
Yeah, those checks run out. You know, I mean, you could work 3 days. You could get a gig and work 3 days, and that 3 day job can carry you for about 3 or 4 months, just from 3 days worth of work. However, it may take you another 7 months to get another 3 days.
That's why you must remain hungry. Regardless of what you get, you must remain hungry. That's what I'm told by, you know, everyone that are within the same industry as you are. You have to continue to be hungry. You can't get comfortable and complacent.
No, at all. So the one thing that I'm hoping for is that, from a work standpoint, I'm always going to get hungry, but I would like to be in a position where my work garners a respectable salary for the year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We're going to put that into the universe for you.
We're
going to
fire it up. Right. Because I want to be hungry, you know, for my career, my passion, not hungry for a burger because I ain't eating 40.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's deep. That's deep.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm serious, you know. It's like, yeah, you got to stay hungry. Dude, I'm starving. Can I get a wing? I'm talking about for your career. I'm talking about a wing. I'm hungry. I've been writing all night, throwing the career stuff. I need something to eat.
Now, Reggie, tell us something about you that no one knows.
In this business, I go through depression. I don't think people, no one really has, this is the first time I've ever talked about it, and I was actually going to start blogging about it, because a friend of mine says, you're always happy, you're always smiling, and you always seem to have so much joy in your life.
Yeah.
And that's me, that's typically how I am. But the one thing that people don't know is the toll that this business has taken on me personally, my relationship with my kids. My kids love me. But I wanted to have always been to be able to do more for them or be there more for them. Even though we get along. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, for the first time, like, I never let money define any aspect of who I am. Which is why I do so many jobs for free and for low, so low pay. But for the first time now, maybe because I'm a little older, I deal with depression a little bit because I don't have the kind of financial security that I want.
And I'm sure you're not alone. There's a lot of actors, musicians, entertainers, period, that have, I'm sure they have a bout of depression, you know, during the downtime when they're wondering what, you know, which way they should go next regarding their career. I'm sure that's a normal reaction because I, too, have had that experience of depression when you're just not sure if you're questioning yourself, and you should talk about it. You should talk about it.
I may.
Yeah.
I may, because I'm a very private, it's interesting because I'm so open, but yet I'm very private. Like very
That makes a lot of sense.
You know, like a lot of people know me, but not a lot of people know everything about me.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. Yes.
You know?
Yes. You should blog about that, Reg. If you do blog about it, I would definitely share it with my listeners and put it on the website as well as my fan page. So, you know, people have to know that they're not alone. You know, I would definitely encourage you to blog about that.
You got to teach me how to blog, though. I don't know how to do it.
I would love to help. I would, you know what? We'll talk after this interview, and I'll help you set it up. But it's very easy, and you can connect it to your website. That's the beautiful thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
What's Reggie Gaston's definition of success?
The number of people loyal to you.
Ooh, preach.
Yeah.
Yep, that's very important.
Yeah, I mean, people who walk with you through all levels of your life, when you're doing good, not only in, you know, success in your career, but the success in how you handle your business, handle your friendships, and when you handle, when they're with you, like when you fail, when you screw up, you know, like, man, how did you not book the part? I'm sorry for you. And it's like, dude, why did you do that? You know, because in every aspect of life, you mess up somewhere on some level, you know.
Right.
Maybe you didn't forgive somebody, or maybe you did somebody dirty at the wrong. It's like, man, I didn't mean to do that, or something, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's finding people who is like, you know what, he screwed up, he amended for it, he's down right now, he's not making money, he's still my boy, whatever the case is. And
ta-da.
I'm thankful, you know, to have, you know, some people in my life that who are, you know, friends through it all.
Right, right.
You know?
Well, in a perfect world.
Yeah. Now, I have a quick announcement to make, and I think you know this, I don't know. But my new film, entitled The Lying Truth, will be in a theater in Fort Pierce, Florida, on July 27th, and it is my first theatrical release.
Congratulations.
Thank you. If we do well in Florida, we'll get expanded to more cities, and one of those cities would be Atlanta. I need everybody to occupy the Nova Cinemas at Sable Palm in Fort Pierce, Florida.
And I'll also put that on the Blog Talk website as well, so they can, get linked and continue to support what you're doing. That's
and please, I need everybody to go check out the trailer. It's on YouTube. It's just type in Reggie Gaskin, The Lying Truth on YouTube. Watch the trailer. Leave comments. I need those trailer numbers to be going up and up by the thousand.
There we go.
Yep.
And I'll put that on the Side Effect fan page also for you. All right?
Cool. Yes.
Thank you so much, Reggie, for swinging by the Side Effect and, you know, sharing what you're doing and giving you this wisdom. You know, we really appreciate it. I want to thank you. And before you go, share your social media contact, how everyone can get contacted with you.
Please hit me up on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter, just Twitter, at Reggie Gaskin. And go to my website, ReggieGaskinsTV.com. And watch the official movie trailer for The Lying Truth on YouTube.
Yeah, we're going to go pop some popcorn and watch that right now.
There you go.
Much success, my friend.
Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to connect with us on Facebook, the Psy Effect fan page. Also, I am Psy on Twitter. So tune in next time on the Psy.